So we have James, Millie, Anna and Anya. And over the last few months, these guys, but also the rest of the youth, have been really praying about this service and what we want the theme to be, what we want the message to be for you guys. And we've been praying for you as well, that God will speak to you. And these guys have put together 5 minutes each. We go to a youth service once a month called Ignite, and very often the young people will get up and speak for 5 minutes, and it's called 5 minutes of fire. So this is what we've kind of modelled it on, that these guys will be giving 5 minutes of fire. So you better be listening. Don't miss it. But yeah, I'd really just love to pray for them, and then I think Millie's going to start, but... Hey God, I thank you for what you've been saying to these guys as they've been preparing over the last few weeks and months. I just pray that you will bless them, that what you've already said to them will come out really clearly, and that you will just speak through them, that you will help our hearts and our minds to listen, and that we'll receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Millie. And I should say that the theme for today is walking with God in the difficult times, and Millie's going to start for us.
So to start off, I'm going, as you know, our theme is walking with God through struggle. So I'm going to do a game. So can I have two volunteers? Can you please blindfold yourself?
Blindfold my
yes.
That's true.
There we go. Is this the game? Whoever blindfolds first.
It's
going to
be me.
So we're going to do an obstacle course.
Oh, great.
And both of you are going to have a young person that is going to lead you through the obstacle course.
I feel confident.
So you're going to have Emma, and she's going to lead you. And Ed, you're going to have George.
James, I was like, no, please not James. No, James, George, I'm happy. It's good. We're going to win. Okay. Sorry.
So, they are going to tell you before each one that what the obstacle is. And if you think I'm not going to be able to do it, you can say I can't do it, and we will come and a young person will do it for you.
I can't do it.
Because we sometimes can't see what the next obstacle is with our obstacles with God. Right. So, yeah, so you can go. To then tell them what the obstacle is, so they know. They can do whatever. She can go under if you want to. If you want, remember Ed, if you want to ask for help, you can, because it's Milo's tunnel. So with Chantel, they're all telling her different ways of going, and she has to remember to tune in to what Emma's saying instead of what all the other young people. Like, sometimes we need to tune in to God's voice instead of other people's. She finished. Stand up and walk to where Chantel is. They can stop.
Just keep going.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for volunteering to give up. So there's a couple of points we can get from that, because sometimes when we've got obstacles, we have to remember that we need to tune into God's voice instead of other people's, like they need to remember to tune into their director's voice. Also, when he had to go through the tunnel, he could, as he was struggling, he could have asked for help and someone could have done it for him. Like, we sometimes can ask God for help and he'll help us do it with us. Also, they finish at different times, and sometimes we can compare ourselves on each other and look, oh, look, they finished first. I'm going to watch them. But we need to, it's because it's our own, we're doing it with God, and we shouldn't be worrying about and comparing ourselves with other people. So, like the obstacle course, I had a struggle when I was 5, and my granddad died, and I was grieving, and I was at my most vulnerable point, and I started having really, really bad nightmares all about death, which made me really scared to go to bed at night. Also, part of him passing away was that I wanted to get him back and him to be well again and to see him. Eventually, after a long time, I turned to God after my nightmares were really hot, really bad, and I started asking him to taking my nightmares away. And one night, I saw God climbing down from heaven on a ladder through my window into the room. He told me to stop worrying about my granddad, as the angels are looking after him and he's all better in heaven. Now, I've learned a lot from this, so I thought I'd share with you. So my first point is, in whatever situation you're in or your struggles, always do it with God, as he will help you and wants to help you. So in my case, I should have grieved with God instead of doing it by myself. My second point is to turn to God in whatever situation you're in, as even though you might have not asked him straight away, he's still happy to join in halfway through. And walk with God as he wants to walk with you through it. So in my case, I should have invited God into the situation a lot earlier to save me from having my bad nightmares, and should have walked with God through it. So in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth." This tells us to take a step back and let God be in charge. As he is exalted above everything, he's higher than our problems, higher than the nations, and higher than the world, which means that however big our problems we think they are, to God they're a lot smaller. So in closing, I want to challenge you to invite God into your situation and think, are you doing it in your own strength or in God's strength? However hard your situation is, remember that God wants to help you and walk with you through it. So in closing, I'll pray. Dear God, I pray that with whatever situation we're in, that we'll always remember to walk with you and do it in your strength instead of our own strength. Amen. I pass to James.
So I'm going to talk about speech and listening to God through the speech of the world. So my first point is that God's always speaking. So even when the world is like screaming negativity at you, even when everything that you do is getting criticized by people in the world, God is always supporting you. He's always with you. He's always speaking to you. And there's a verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So basically, I think that whenever the world's like shouting stuff at you and like everything that you do seems to get criticized, God's always supporting you. He's not giving you anything. The temptation, the hate, the things that people are saying, it's never too much for you to handle through God. And I just think that's so powerful. Like, God loves us so much that even the stuff that's bad in our lives, he can control and he can help us through that. So my second point is that if the world is speaking hate, fight that with God's love and share his word. So there's a verse, 1 Chronicles 16:24, which says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people." So when we share what God's done in our lives and what God's done in other people's lives, that will counter out like any of the negativity, any of the bad words that have been spoken upon you, because you will be whole and faithful in God, in God's love. And that's incredible that when we spread the word of our Father, it can take away the pain that's happening to us. And my third point is, don't define yourself by the lies of the world, but trust God and listen to his words, not the world's. So sometimes people can say that you're doing stuff wrong. And I'm not saying don't ever take people's advice, because if you are doing something wrong, then it can cause more pain. But if you're doing something through God, if people are criticizing you for worshipping God, for actively preaching and actively doing God's will, then you need to trust God. You need to trust that the things that they're saying upon you are wrong. They're just false. They're words of the devil. Because if you are spreading God's love and you are just holy with God, then he's always going to be with you. He's always going to support you. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you, I knew in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So God knew us so much that he created us. And before we were known by anyone else, before we were known by our own parents, he knew us and he knew us holy. He knew what we could do. So if people of the world are criticizing you for what God's created you to do, then they can't be right. So I'm just going to pray to end. Lord, I pray that we can have faith that what we do through you is correct. I pray that we can have the confidence to put across our views, our belief in you to others and to anyone that will listen. I pray that we can preach your love, your words. Amen. So I'm going to hand over to Anna.
So I'm going to talk about trusting God in the difficult times. And I'll start off with an example. So, GCSEs, for me, were not easy. Well, I mean, I don't think they are for anyone. If they are, that's great. But for me, no. So one subject that I didn't find easy was English. So I was good at it, but and understood it in, like, all the lessons and everything. But when it came to the exam and, like, the exam technique, I'd be like, I'm not too sure what I'm doing. So with English literature, we had to learn 15 poems, as well as 3 texts as well. And we would only get tested on 2 of the poems. So basically 13 of them would become irrelevant. And I was like, what? When I first heard this, I was like, I can't learn 15 poems and then 13 of them become irrelevant. I was like, why do I have to do that? Anyway, so I didn't feel with the time that I had left before my actual exam that I could learn all the 15 poems. So I decided to pray and ask God to show me which ones I should revise. So it ended up being 3 ones that I focused mainly on, and I was trusting that those 3 were the ones I should revise, and that maybe one of them might be the one that they'd give me in the exam, and that I could compare it to the other one. So it came to the exam, and I opened the page, and the poem wasn't one of the 3. So I was like, oh, okay. So in that moment, I could have chosen to be angry at God and be like, why isn't it one of those 3? I thought it was going to be one of those 3. Or I could have decided to think, oh, maybe I wasn't hearing from God. Maybe it was just my voice being like, oh, yeah, do those 3. But I actually chose, I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust God because I believe it was from God. And I realised that the poem that was in front of me, I had revised more than any of, like, the others. Not as much as the other 3, like the main 3, but I'd revised it. And I was like, you know what? I know enough about this poem to compare it to my favourite poem, which was one of the 3. And I ended up writing more than enough that I was like, okay, didn't think I could write all that, but I did. And then afterwards I was talking to my friends and I was like, oh, which ones did you do? And they were like, oh, this one or that one. I was like, I didn't do that one. I did one completely different. But it worked out, and the only way it would have worked out was because God was in it. And I ended up getting an 8, so that's an A star in literature. And I'm not saying, like, you have to get, like, good grades, but for me, I was like, I got an 8 in literature. Like, that has never happened ever before, and it happened in the real exam, and I was like, wow, thank you, God, because I could not have done that by myself. So, my point from that is we have to choose to trust God and believe in him. And I think when we do, it's amazing. And in Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." So I love this verse, and it really speaks to me because I'm like, yeah, everything I do, God's working for the good, and he's bringing it all together, so it's all good. And I feel like the example that I've just given, I was like, wow, kind of reflects that verse that did, that I ended up kind of in that moment in the exam going, oh my gosh, but then it all worked out fine. And I got an amazing grade, so, yeah. And it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And in one of Ren Collective's new songs, "Weep With Me," in part of the verse, it says that you love me, your plans are to prosper me. And I love this next bit. "You're working everything for good, even when I can't see." So even when you can't see it, even when you're thinking, oh my gosh, how is this going to work out? God's working it out. And even though you can't see it in that moment, that you will see it eventually. And maybe you won't, but you might look back on life and be like, oh, that's how it all worked out. So in Matthew 21, verse 21 to 22, it says, if I can get my sheets the right way around. Jesus replied, "Listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and be thrown into the sea,' and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive." So I was just looking at this verse and I thought, oh, the bit about the mountain can represent the difficult times in your life, because I don't think if I went in front of Everest and stood there and I was like, move into the sea, that it would happen. Because, I mean, I'm not sure whether I'd really want to move Everest into the sea. So, yeah. So I thought, well, in like difficult times in my life, it can feel like a mountain. Like, oh, how am I ever going to get around this? How am I ever going to go over it? Like, I just can't deal with this. But it says, if you have no doubt of God's full power and speak out of faith's fullness, you could say to this mountain, "Be lifted up and be thrown into the sea." So you're trusting that with God's power, you can go through, you can move that mountain. You'd be like, you know what? This isn't going to stop me. I'm still going to keep going. I'm not going to let it control me or take over. And in Mark 5, verse 26, I love this translation. It's the Passion Translation, but I love the way it translates this verse. It says, "Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing." And I love the bit where it says, "Don't yield to fear," because someone say, "Do not fear." And sometimes I'm like, well, it's too late. I'm already afraid. But this one says, "Do not yield to the fear." So don't let the fear take over you. And don't let the fear be what you believe in and what you trust. But all you need to do is keep on believing in God and keep on believing that he's there with you. And he's always right there through it all with you. And some of the verses are Philippians 4, verse 13. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And the Passion Translation is also really cool. I just love the Passion Translation. Anyway, "And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty." And Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." So, just to close, I'll just pray. Lord, I thank you that through every difficult time in our lives, you're always there. You're always there with us. And I pray, Lord, that you just remind us to trust you and to keep coming back to you and to focus on you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that everything will work out for the good of us, Lord. I thank you. In your name, amen. I'll hand over to Anya.
Every day we experience many difficult situations. So this includes things like stress for like work or coursework, GCSEs. We worry about family situations and even small things like our appearance or if our hair looks nice. So through stressful or difficult situations, we may feel alone, like no one understands what we are going through. But as Christians, we know we are never alone. In Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Jesus' name was Emmanuel, and this literally means God with us. So this means God is always with us and will care for us in all times. So no matter how hard life gets, you are never alone, and God is always with you, and he knows all of our struggles. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." When it says, "I will listen to you," this shows he understands our struggles. He never ignores us. So no matter how big or small your problem is, how silly it seems, God will always hear you out and he understands. He won't ignore you. He loves us. We are his sons and daughters. He will do anything for us. He loves us so much, he sent his son down to die on the cross for us. He sacrificed his only son so we could live eternally in heaven with him. This shows his overwhelming love for us. In Matthew 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When it says you will find rest for your souls, this shows God will comfort you and care for you. An example of this is when you're going through a really hard time, like the death of a family member or an operation. God helps you feel an inner peace, and he helps you sometimes, even though, you know, you should feel stressed and you feel really worried, God will be there, and you can just feel his presence. The Bible talks about God's love on many occasions. It says in John 15, verse 9 to 12, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now you remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy will be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." This verse talks about the overwhelming love of God and how we should love others. So the love of God can help us through the tough times. When it says, "My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete," this helps us know the love of God can give you joy that fills you up and helps you in the hard times. So you can always feel loved and you are never alone. We have many earthly supports like close friends or family. We trust in these people and take their advice. However, all earthly things aren't as strong or stable as our heavenly God. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." So God is a strong tower. He won't shake. He won't fall. He is always there for you. He doesn't have bad days or low days. He is just permanently perfect and can support us unconditionally. No matter our situation, his love and grace remains. In Exodus 15, verse 2, it tells us, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God and I will praise him, my Father's God and I will exalt him." It says the Lord is my strength, so this teaches us that our God helps us in all things we do. He defeats our weakness and helps us out of the darkness. Throughout all of our lives, we do experience hard, difficult situations, and we can't not, that's just going to happen. So for me, an example of this was when we moved church around a year ago. My family made a decision to move to HBC. This was hard for me, as I'd been in the other church for my whole life. I was worried I wasn't going to fit in or that no one would like me. The reality was that through praying to God and trusting in him, I overcame the fear. And I ended up becoming really involved in the church and making loads of friends. Despite my worries, God helped me gain confidence, and I ended up developing a stronger relationship with God. So if you trust in him, he will help you, and he will help you get through the situation. So my point is, no matter how difficult the situation you are facing, God is with you. Our God is a compassionate, caring God. He is always with us and understands the problems we are facing. If you trust in him, he will support and comfort you. We are his sons and daughters, and he loves us. No matter how much we sin or what we are going through, he is there for us. We are now going to go into a time of prayer and response. So we have a basket. So if you've got anything that's troubling you, you can write it down and fold it up and wrap it up if you want and put it in the basket, because God has taken care of your problems and you don't need to worry about them. We have some post-it notes. So if you feel God speaking to you and giving you a word for another person, you can write it down and go pray for them and give it to them.
So with the basket, when we've laid it down, we need to act on. We've given it to God. So if your problem is you need to tell other people so they can help you, and you also need to tell God. You can go and grab a friend and tell that person your struggle. And then with a friend, you can go over the stool of like letting go of going over your obstacle with a friend and with God. If you want healing, or if you want any prayer for your struggle, all the young people will be on this side and we will come and pray for you. And then if you feel like you just need to be reminded that God loves you, you can grab some people and they can pray for you. So we'll go into response.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for letting us gather here. Please help your word settle in us and help us be able to know that you love us and there's nothing that we can do to stop you from loving us.
God, I pray that we will take our struggles off our shoulders and do it in your strength, not ours, and we'll let you take our hand and we'll go with you through it instead of you being on the sidelines watching us do it and struggle. I hope. Amen.
Shall we stand together? Can we sing this song out?